D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan here with you. Willie Donick out today. A quick Predators note for you Mark Del Geizo fans out there. He signed with the Montreal Canadiens, so... If any of you actually own Mark Del Geizo jerseys, you may have to put them in storage because he's no longer a member of the organization. Now, let's move on to more pressing matters. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on the program. Hutton, have you been following this Malik Beasley story?
Do we get Hut?
Where'd Hutton go?
I'm here. You guys got me?
Yep, there you are. Hi, Hutton.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't, but let me know. I'm curious about this.
So Malik Beasley, NBA player
for
the Detroit Pistons, federal authorities are investigating him on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets. This reported by Sham Sharania. The allegations are from the 2023-2024 season when he played for the Bucks. At least one prominent U.S. sports book detected unusually heavy betting interest on Beasley's statistics beginning around January 2024, a gambling industry source told ESPN. But the details of this story are just astounding. The Detroit News had a scoop recently. Ex-Pistons player Malik Beasley's money problems ran so deep, he pledged his current and future NBA contracts as collateral in one deal and stiffed his dentist, and that dentist is garnishing his wages.
What? So his salary is going to his dentist.
According to the Detroit News,
in January,
a Minnesota dentist won a $34,390 default judgment against Beasley. According to court records, the dentist started garnishing Beasley's paychecks from the Pistons in February.
That is crazy. Now, if that's okay, the dentist isn't the only one that's garnishing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
This
is a 30 for 30.
Yes. In January, a celebrity barbershop with a long roster of NBA stars won a $26,827 judgment against Beasley. So the larger point here.
It's sad, but I'm laughing.
Right. The larger picture here, Hutton, is the prevalence of sports betting. And the fact that these leagues have gotten into bed with all of these sports betting companies, I mean, it allows for this to happen. So it's like we shouldn't be surprised by this, right? I know we're sort of chuckling at the fact that this man, this NBA player, is having his wages garnished by his dentist. It's a sad story, but, I mean, this is what was inevitable, wasn't it?
Yes, but it was already happening. I mean, in the NBA, I mean, we know about the referees, mm-hmm. right? Like, they have the background there where, I mean, they're going full out banned for life whenever you're caught doing this. So, you know, it's a stark difference. Look at it from the NFL's perspective. Calvin Ridley is, you know, breaking the rule there, and he's suspended basically for a year. It's indefinite, but he comes back after a year. The players do. When's the last time that's happened, by the way? In the league?
In the NFL specifically?
In the NFL, yeah.
The last time that it...
The last suspension for breaking the...
Wasn't it Nicholas Petit-Frere?
Yeah, it was Nicholas.
It feels like forever ago.
Yeah. But it wasn't a full season, right? It was
so am I to believe
games?
That all of a sudden the players stop... they're off the apps now? Come on. You know, like, it's very selective, and a superstar quarterback will never be caught doing it, by the way. And look how close we were in Major League Baseball with Ohtani. That close.
That's true. I forgot about that.
And that would have been, that would have been catastrophic for Major League Baseball. Instead, you get the interpreter who's now in federal prison in Carolina or Virginia, one, I believe, nonetheless, or West Virginia. Nonetheless, guys, I mean, it's just, it seems like we bounce around to the different leagues, but, you know, you've got the one common thread with it is it's been going on, but the billions of dollars they have coming in now, Adam, as you just mentioned, that's the difference. And I don't know if it's as much about being, what's the word? like being transparent with this as much as it is appearing to be. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The sports books want to absolutely look like they're on the up and up. And I'm not saying that they're automatically doing anything criminal here, but the players, whenever I was growing up, there was a bookie down the street at the golf course. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't hard to go place a bet. And some of these guys are doing it at such a high level that they're caught in this little, this game. Beasley's not the only one.
By the way, here's some more information from ESPN.
You know what I mean? Like, this has been going on for a while.
A gambling industry source pointed to a game between the Bucks and the Trailblazers on January 31st, 2024. The odds on Beasley recording fewer than 2.5 rebounds moved significantly at sportsbooks before the game, shortening from around plus 120 to around minus 250 due to a surge of action on the under. Beasley finished with 6 rebounds in the bets that were deemed unusual.
There you
lost.
Go. So, okay. So keep in mind, it's the other wagers you can make on a sports bet, right? The side bets. That's where the players and the refs really can, flip a game or a wager. We saw it in Alabama with baseball. So there's so many different things. I always think about the spread. Mm-hmm. It's not as much about the spread. It's about like over under minutes played, rebounds, assists, whatever. Because the player could just say, I'm sick all of a sudden, I'm cramping up. And they're out of the game after they get one rebound, offensive rebound, and an over under 2.5.
What happened to the player that the NBA banned? Didn't it?
Yes.
Yes. The NBA banned a player from the league for this.
Dante Porter.
Yeah.
In the Jonte Porter thing, that was like the one of the starters was out. He knew he was going to play. He had an over under, and I may get the detail the bet wrong here, but it was like over under on rebounds or minutes played. And he got into the game, knew he was going to play, got in the game, and then like faked an injury, and so he was out of the game. So once he was in the game, that wager stuck for like it, and it hit the under. That was just one example. But we're hearing it right now with Beasley with the rebounds and stuff. Like it's crazy to think. I don't look at it that way is what I'm saying, guys. I look at it as the spread, 3.5, 4 points, and it's the devil's in the details, Mace.
One thing that you also have to keep in mind wasn't Adam Silver the first major U.S. sports commissioner to advocate for legalizing sports betting?
Yeah, and everybody else followed suit.
Right.
Well, so I'm not against that though.
Neither am I. But you're sort of inviting this sort of behavior.
Yeah, you're in bed with I'm not saying you because I think a lot of people believe like, hey, listen, it's betting, and they don't have really too much to say about it in regards to that. But when you in regards to sports betting and these leagues being in bed with these sports entities. But when you put individuals in situations like this, whether they are endorsing these betting sites or whatnot, because if I'm endorsing it, I'm getting money somehow from them to endorse. They make it easy for then you to bet. I'm sure. Yeah, players can't.
I don't see the players endorsing it though, Mace. They're not allowed to.
Yeah, you're right. They're not allowed to.
Yeah, that's also unfair. Like the Super Bowl in Las Vegas.
But the teams, right. I meant the teams get to promote.
Oh, yeah.
And they're
in bed
with them. Yes.
No, the owners are benefiting. They're getting a ton, man. But again, I think it's more about appearing to be like they're really care about making sure that everything's going proper. And I'm not trying to say that they're doing it intentionally. But they're never going to suspend LeBron James for placing a wager.
Oh, because LeBron's never going to place a wager.
I don't know about that.
He would be dumb to place a wager on anything, considering what he would have to lose. Oh,
but Jordan would have.
There was a different era because Jordan knew that more than likely ain't nobody going to find out about this unless you were following me around.
But I'm saying like that, but they would have made, I mean, David Stern, who knows, but they would have never suspended Michael Jordan or banned him for life. We would never have that headline of Jordan is doing something where it's intentionally undermining the sanctity of everyone placing their wager on the Bulls. Like, I'm not trying to accuse him of anything like that. I'm saying, like, in the NFL, for instance, Patrick Mahomes is never going to get caught, even if he did something on BetMGM.
Yeah, they're not going to allow it.
Right. It would be it's the backup offensive lineman who gets suspended for a year.
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
No, and you're right, because I look at it, and I've looked at all of the sort of betting suspensions over the last five years, and it runs the gamut. It's not just predominantly one sport or the other. I think baseball has had their issues within the last 5 years. Basketball, football, definitely. Hockey has had theirs. Golf has had theirs. So every sport tends to, have their, whether it be one guy or girl or multiple people, because it's so easily accessible, meaning bet.
And
you don't have to do much to actually get a bet in.
Isn't it interesting, too? I'm thinking about this as you say that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned all the sports. We've, as a public, as fans, we view it different. It's different for us based on the sport. Mm-hmm. In Major League Baseball, it's Pete Rose. But in the NFL, it's 12 months. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the demand for, he's done. Like in the NBA, because we've had the, what was the referee's name?
Tim Donaghy.
Donaghy.
Yeah, thank you. Donaghy. Yes. But because of that, they're like zeroed in on it. There's another ban for life deal. I just think it's fascinating how one league handles it versus the other.
Yeah, because football, I don't think, and I could be wrong about this, at least not within the last 5 years, I don't think it may have been one indefinite suspension, but to, like, just say you're suspended forever, like you're never, ever getting back
like
in.
Like the ban.
Yeah,
like
just
you're banned from baseball.
Right. I haven't seen that in football, at least.
No, and again, like Ridley was suspended indefinitely on the commissioner's list or whatever, mm-hmm. but it was like a 12-month deal. It's like February to February. So again, like it's kind of like unsaid. I'm fascinated by how we what I mean by saying we, like
yes.
as a public, mm-hmm. we tend to look at the sport different, and one's like very stat numbers driven, the other's not. But you can control it if you're going to catch a pass or not in a game. And again, I'm just using Ridley because it happened in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying he did that. In fact, he was out. He was out those games, I believe, mm-hmm. On IR or something. But again, like you know who's going to play, who's not. It's very interesting, and the refs can also do that. Here's a holding call and a big first down play.
Well, in Nicholas' case, I think because he was on NFL grounds.
That was what happened with Jamison Williams.
That's right.
Jamison Williams was suspended. Uh-huh.
He placed
a bet.
Right.
He placed a bet on a non-NFL game
exactly.
from an NFL facility,
yes.
which includes not just the building, but also the plane and the hotel and the bus. Like, it just seems like
the parking lot.
Right? Yes.
It's like that.
If you hit the Wi-Fi, you're on team grounds.
And to me, that seems a little extreme, to say
I
the
agree.
Least. But, it's, I'm reading this story from The Athletic that was published in January of 2024 asking if the gambling suspensions for pro athletes are on the rise. Is this the tip of the iceberg? And in 2023 alone, 11 different athletes, 10 NFLers, and one NHL player were punished by their leagues for gambling-related infractions. But again, like with the Jamison Williams thing, it's just like he bets on a sport that's not the NFL, mm-hmm. and he does it like sitting in his car. I don't know if this is what he was doing, but like just for the case of this, sitting in his car before he pulls out of the facility, like. That should
on
like
team be, grounds.
I know, but that seems so silly, though.
But the NFL,
I agree with you.
It is silly, but it's almost this two-tier sort of discipline. If that's like you said, if that was Patrick Mahomes, they would have found some way to say no, he didn't do it on the NFL grounds. But when you are a young guy like Jameis Williamson, then. Mm-hmm. If you're in a parking lot, not to say he was in the parking lot, but I'm just saying, if you're in the parking lot of the facility, then you've broke the rules.
Yep. Yeah. Man, you just hit the Wi-Fi. Yeah. Again, like if that was basically what happened. I'm to believe that the rookie, again, I wasn't the one saying this, but everyone was like, oh, the players are dumb. They need to read the policy. Well, so I'm to believe that the rookies coming into the league know this policy. Of course not.
No, they knew.
But I haven't heard of anything like this recently. I don't want to because I mean, they're adults. They should be able to, if they want to bet on the hockey game, they should be able to do it like I can on FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever. Don't bet on your team. Don't bet on the league. I get all that. But it's team employees too. They are strict about it. Players that were going around Radio Row at the Super Bowl in Vegas, they were it's like they were going to be suspended for life if they were caught with like a logo behind them. They were worried. One guy sat down with us and goes, "Are you presented by FanDuel or DraftKings?" I was like, "No." He goes, "Okay, good." I mean, I was like, "What?" That's how like paranoid they are about it. Mm-hmm. But yet the owners are getting billions in sponsorship money.
Of course.
By the way, Nicolas Petitpierre was suspended for placing a non-NFL bet.
Yes, that's what I thought it was.
It wasn't. Yeah, he was in six games.
It was a non-NFL game. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It would have been indefinite had he. It would have been for at least 1 year had he done something on the league.
I do want to ask you about something else, Hutton. So yesterday, Sophie Cunningham of the Indiana Fever, she made headlines when she expressed concerns about the markets that the WNBA is expanding into, specifically Cleveland and Detroit. She basically said, "You want to listen to your players? Do they want to go to Cleveland and Detroit?"
And before you say that,
and by the way, don't forget about the Detroit Shock, who won multiple NBA titles. But nevertheless, go ahead, Derek.
Listen, Sophie, it ain't like
Michigander.
It ain't like something like it's just Disney World in Indiana. What in the hell? How the hell is she going to sit here and say, "Oh, nobody really, outside of Caitlin Clark, nobody wants to play in Indianapolis."
But you know what? She did say Nashville is an amazing city.
Yeah, this city, like, shut up, okay? Just be quiet. Because
you know, here's why Nashville didn't get it. Here's why Nashville didn't get it. We don't have an NBA
market
that's right
now. And that's what the NBA was saying.
Yes.
They said they wanted to give it to teams that has a NBA presence within the city. If the Grizzlies were here, I think Nashville would have got a team immediately.
But I do. Go ahead.
Can I say why they're doing it that way?
Yes.
They've been subsidizing and paying for the league as owners, right? They want a return on investment.
Exactly.
Because they've been losing money. Here's what they're doing. The entry fee for a franchise was $50 million 2 years ago. $50 million. Now it's $250 million. Now, think about what it's going to be when they can go back to the table in 2 years on their TV contract. The WNBA can. And they're going to sell these teams off. The owners will. If they don't want to own the team, they will sell these teams off. And they're going to make money off of it. It's just it's more investment. You get the team now. You capitalize on Caitlin Clark, and then you sell whenever you have the opportunity to, when others want to buy in for more. $250 million right now. How much did the Predators sell for to the ownership group? It's like 190 something million. That was what? That was 2007.
Yeah, nearly 20 years ago. I'll have to look that
up. So consider 2 years ago was $50 million to get in the league for WNBA. And by the way, that league's it's already, for me, I'm not trying to rip on any. It's hard to watch if I'm not watching Caitlin Clark or
$193 million to buy the Predators.
There you go. And so it was $50 million just to get into the league for the Valkyrie, the Golden State Valkyrie. Now now it's $250 million. That's the effect of why they're doing it. And they're doing it with the NBA owners because the Pacers owner also owns the Fever. They're doing it for the NBA owners to they want to make sure the owners are happy. The owners do because they've been paying for this league for so long.
Listen,
they want to have a return on investment. Yeah. They're like, "What are we doing here?"
These girls are gonna play. Listen, because it's not like the sport is starting to catch traction.
And absolutely,
it's great. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, all of these women that can just straight out ball. Now they're picking up steam. We're not even talking about the girls that are in college that are going to eventually be playing in this league. So the league is just trying to put teams in situations where they believe they can thrive. If you got a Detroit Pistons, why not put Detroit a WNBA team back in that city?
But they're not doing it with owners, like the investors from the outside.
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
They're doing it with owners. They own either all of it or part of it, meaning
the NBA already owns 50% of the league, Mace.
Yeah,
the NBA owns. So they're just taking money that they're already giving them and buying these franchises or starting these franchises is what I mean. And then they're going to sell them off eventually and
Make
tons of money off of it. Yeah,
of course. And yeah. Because the game, I believe, it's growing. How much is going to grow? I have no idea.
I do wonder if I'm sorry, Derek. I do wonder if it hits a saturation point because they're riding the Caitlin Clark wave right now. Sophie Cunningham's teammate, by the way. Mm-hmm. They are riding the Caitlin Clark wave, and as Hutton said, the WNBA, the values of the franchises, the ratings, the television deal, they're never going to be higher. Or at least I think they will.
Because,
but is there a fear of oversaturation? Like, we're just going to keep growing and growing and growing. I think you have to be careful, right?
No, I think they're going to grow. Yeah, I think they're going to grow to a point where they have close to what the NBA have as far as teams, period. But you got to look at the pipeline that is coming throughout college. There are some really good that can potentially be great players, female players that are going to transition to the WNBA. And everybody's waiting on Juju to see how she comes back after that knee injury that she had in the tournament. She comes back. She's going to headline that group that will be coming out, I think, in 2 years. She's going to be another addition, let alone the girls that are coming out next year. So I think this sport is going to continue to rise. But for Sophie Cunningham, sit your narrow tail down, okay? You talk about my city, okay? You're talking about, and that's the only reason I'm in a little bit of an uproar. It's because she's talking about my city.
Now, take up for Cleveland,
like,
Derek.
Indiana has, like, it's just worlds of things to do in Indiana. Like, goodness gracious. Like, I'm not going to take up for Cleveland, even though I like Cleveland, but that ain't my city. I'm taking up for my city, okay? First and foremost. So, listen, I understand. I get it. But she should just be, I think the league, the WNBA, should be happy. Not from the standpoint of we're giving you this, but from the standpoint of your sport is growing. So don't sit here and, we need to have it in this. No, your sport is growing, and eventually, I believe, they may get a team here in Nashville.
I think it's an inevitability. I know it didn't work out this time around for the group, but I do think Nashville to the NBA.
I think
Nashville will be in the WNBA.
The names alone in the ownership group will tell you. And I love the name, by the way, of the team, the Summit.
Yeah, I really
like that. It's great. But again, Peyton Manning's involved. They're going to have a team.
Yes. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every week on D-Mace, Vingan, and Don Nick. Hutton, great stuff as always. Have a wonderful July 4th weekend. We'll talk next
week. Yes. Happy Independence Day. Always enjoy the conversation, and you guys have a great weekend.
You as well.
You do the same.
Jonathan Hutton on the program, 615-737-1025. All right. As we just noted, July 4th, Friday. So no show. 3-day weekend. Derek is actually taking a 4-day weekend. He's getting out of here after the show today.
Oh, yeah.
So that means we are moving Ask D-Mace up from Friday at 12:30 to right now. 615-737-1025. A special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Football, hockey, sports, life. It's all on the table for Derek Mason. A special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Mace. That's coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is indeed time for Ask D-Mace. No, it's not Friday. It's Wednesday. But we're off on Friday because of the 4th of July holiday and Derek taking a well-deserved day off tomorrow. So I thought, what the heck? Let's have Ask D-Mace on Wednesday. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So if you have questions for Derek, let her rip. And we've got plenty. And let's start with Luke on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Luke, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, D-Mace, just want to say thanks for taking as many hockey questions as you do and jumping into this stuff. It's great to have another ambassador for it, for the city.
Oh, well, thank you. My questions
are going to be for Cam Ward. Do you think he goes over under on passes, touchdown passes for interceptions? And do you think he goes over under for 15 touchdown passes this year?
Thank you for the call, Luke.
Thank you for the call, Luke. What was the over under for interceptions, he said?
I didn't hear that. David, yeah. Did you?
He said 14, or he said 14 for touchdowns, right?
I'm going to look up his over under.
Yeah. Based on our caller, I think over the 14 or 15. I'm not saying it's going to be grossly over. I pray it is, or will be, but I do believe in the over. Now, when it comes to the interceptions, what do they have?
Okay, so this is according to Paul Kaharsky back in April. So these lines certainly have changed, but according to BetOnline_AG, passing touchdowns over under 19.5, mm-hmm. total interceptions over under 12.5.
I would say over the 19.5, I'm thinking between 19 and 23, maybe somewhere around there, 24. Interceptions, if it's over the 12, we got a problem. We have a problem. I think it's at or below the 12.
Okay. Let's go to Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Adam, thanks for calling. Please go ahead.
So, hey, D-May, so between Bruno, Cali, Borgonzi, and Trotz, who gets fired first and who is the last man standing keeping their job?
Thank you for the call, Adam. So between Brian Callahan, Andrew Burnett, Barry Trotz, and Mike Borgonzi, who gets fired first?
Okay.
And who is the last man standing?
Okay, last man standing. Wow, this is a tough one.
It's a good question.
It is a good question. Is he saying the last man standing, meaning after this season?
Which of those four
will be fired first and which will have the longest tenure?
Yes.
Okay, that's how I'm explaining it. I want to pick Borgonzi because the short term, because
he will be the last man standing,
yeah,
you mean.
In the short term.
Yes.
But I think in the long term, you would pick Barry because of the history of the Nashville Predators. Mm-hmm. And what do we talk about? Being loyal to a fault,
yes,
sometimes.
Yes.
And I just think that's the organization, period. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe they've held on a little bit too long to some players or coach or whatnot. Or some may even say the last GM. That's not me, but some were saying that. So if you're talking about the long haul, if we were just basing on the long haul, then I think Barry. I would say Barry, then Borgonzi, and you flip a coin
with Bruno. The coach question is interesting because if I had to answer that question.
Well, I would put Bruno before Cali. You know why? Because NFL teams they really don't fire. They're not accustomed to firing, you know, coaches in the middle of the season, early on.
Now,
recent history has shown
that I believe it was five of the past seven, if mm-hmm. I recall off the top of my head, five of the past seven quarterbacks taken number one overall have had their coaches fired in season in their rookie years. Mm-hmm. Now, Urban Meyer is in that group, and he's a special case, but it does happen. So If I had to answer that question, I would say if I had to choose between who gets fired first, Brunette or Callahan, I say it's Brunette.
Yes.
Because Brunette, we know that hockey coaches typically have short leashes, but then again, you can also put in the loyalty to a fault thing that you were talking mm-hmm. about. But I think that the drafting of Cam Ward buys Brian Callahan a little bit more time because I don't know if the organization wants to hamper his development mm-hmm. by firing the head coach so early. So if I had to answer that question, I say Brunette is the first to go among that group. But just the two coaches, I think that Brunette has a shorter leash than Brian Callahan.
Yeah, I would tend to think, because if this thing starts off on three wheels for the Predators early in the season, yeah, we may be looking at someone else on that side.
Matthew in Nashville says, speaking of coaches on the hot seat, who are three coaches on your way too early hot seat watch for college football, and where do you put Billy Napier on that list?
Ah, man, I haven't followed. Offhand. Napier, you can't put him on a list. Look at what he did last season. He was on a list last year, wasn't he?
I think he is perennially on the
list. Yeah, he was on a list last year, and then he got his team to play. Is he on the list again this year? At the top of the list?
I'll have to look that up. I don't know.
I would say Michigan's head coach. He may be on. He may be at the top of the list, considering what their team. And listen, they've violated rules, and I think they got some scholarships taken away, or he's suspended for a few games, isn't he? Or was that last year?
Let me throw you some names out there. Sam Pittman in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Freeze at Auburn.
How about LSU?
How about Brian Kelly? How about Lincoln Riley with USC?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Those are the ones that come to mind. Billy Napier, I would also include on that.
I'm gonna throw this out there because I'm not sure if this person would be on the hot seat. Or not, but considering, I'm trying to buy a little time here because I'm looking up something else. But considering, who he followed and how they botched last season.
Are you about to say Kalen DeBoer?
Yes. And I was trying to look at some stuff from last season, but I get to it. But how he, even though they still had an opportunity to make it. That wasn't the Alabama team we were used to seeing. They played really no defense. The offense was suspect at times. It just didn't. And now they're ushering in a new quarterback. It just doesn't seem, or it hasn't, it didn't seem last season, that we were watching, Alabama team that was continuing to ascend. It seemed like a team that had stalled out or either was going a little bit down.
A couple of texters have said that Napier's fine. Justin and Hopkinsville says Napier's fine. They ended up doing well last year in DJ.
That's what I was thinking.
And is it DJ Langway?
Yeah, DJ Langway. He's coming back as the quarterback, so why would he be on a hot seat unless I would see the year after that if they don't build on what they did last year, there's a possibility.
One texter mentions Brent Venables at Oklahoma. So, to be honest with you guys, I haven't thought too much about college football hot seats, so I'm going to have to rewire my brain to get ready for college football season, which I learned is 51 days away, according to Big Joe Dubin's daily countdown. By the way, Big Joe Dubin, I was catching strays on that show today.
Were you?
Yeah. Chase is on vacation, so in the style of David Letterman, Big Joe Dubin did a top 10 list of the things that Chase is not going to miss on vacation, and I think I was on the list three times. I'm like, am I that annoying? I don't think so.
How did you get on the list three times?
one of the ones was, I think it was number nine, the 44 texts you'll receive from Adam Vingan asking where the remote location is. First of all, that is an extreme exaggeration.
It's about 32.
It's one or two. And it's not about the location. Like, I know where we're supposed to go. I just want to know, like, where within the location I'm supposed to go.
But I get it.
Chase, well-deserved vacation, my friend. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your questions for Derek. A special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Mace. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, a special Wednesday edition of Ask D-Mace. No show Friday. Derek out tomorrow. Speaking of Michael Jackson, Andrew from Dover. D-Mace, what is the most underrated Michael Jackson song? My opinion is Blood on the Dance Floor. Andrew from Dover.
Man. The Girl Is Mine, I love that.
That's a good one.
Oh, I love that song.
That's a good one.
Oh, man. I love the song he did with Paul McCartney, he and Paul McCartney. I still remember. I remember as a little kid waking up early in the morning. I was in middle school at the time. Wanting to see that video. It was on, was it MTV at the time?
Probably.
Or it was on one of these.
VH1? Was VH1 around at that time?
I think VH1. It was on one of these, like video boxes. It was called Video Box, I think. And they would play it. What was the name of that? Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. Say, say, say. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Say, say, say what you want, but you don't need me. I love that song. So The Girl Is Mine is, to me, underrated. And it's a short, because it's a short song. It's a very short song.
Josh,
I loved it.
Josh says Man in the Mirror. I wouldn't say that's underrated,
yeah,
though. That's a well-known song.
Man in the Mirror
song.
Was...
May I tell you a funny Michael Jackson-related story quickly? I know this is Ask D-May, so I have to make sure. Several years ago...
You asked me.
I know. I did ask you. I did ask you if I could do this, so thank you. A few years ago, I was in Las Vegas for a work trip. The Predators were out there playing the Golden Knights, and I brought my wife with me. My parents met us out there. We made a little bit of a weekend out of it in Las Vegas. And one night we went to see the Cirque du Soleil Michael Jackson show. And we got tickets to the late showing, which started like at 9 or 9:30.
You gotta love it, man. Go ahead.
So that was the day I flew in, so I was feeling a little bit jet lagged. Mm-hmm. So we went to the show. It was a great show. But at one point, I started nodding off, not because the show wasn't entertaining. It was highly entertaining. I was just exhausted. I nodded off, and I woke up during the performance of Thriller.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the artists, the acrobats, whatever you call them, mm-hmm. They started dancing in the aisle, and they were dressed as zombies. So I'm nodding off, and I wake up, and there's someone doing the Thriller dance as a zombie right in front of me. And I jumped out of my seat. It was very jarring. One texter says PYT, which is a great song.
Yeah.
Another says Smooth Criminal. I also shout out Alien Ant Farm, the remake of the cover of Smooth Criminal. I have a soft spot, Derek, for bands that their greatest hit is a cover of another artist's song.
Mm-hmm. If they sing it right.
Right. Well, Alien Ant Farm was this like punk / hard rock band that came out, you know, 20, 25 years ago, and they covered Smooth Criminal, and that was their biggest ever hit. So I'm trying to think of some other ones. Mm-hmm. The rock band, the Ataris, their number one hit was a cover of what song was that? Boys of Summer, right? So I have a soft spot for that. All right, let's get back to some other questions. Let's see. Stephanie says, D-Mace, if you could undo any Titans trade, which one would it be and why?
Oh, man.
I think I know what the most popular answer would be.
The Derrick Henry?
No.
No, he was a free
agent.
That
wasn't a trade.
The Steve McNair, probably.
What about A.J. Brown?
Yeah, the A.J. Brown, too. I think in more recent years. I think the Steve thing was because of how it happened. And subsequently what happened after that, you know, Vince Young having such a short career, and it had to do, and a lot of it really didn't have to do with his ability to play the game. It just didn't seem as if he was invested the way he needed to be invested, at least from the outside. But yeah, in most recent history, I think it would be hands down the A.J. Brown trade, you know, because you had a guy that had proven that, you know, he was an ascending talent, and you didn't, you know, for whatever reason, maybe it became a little personal, but the organization chose to, you know, move on, trade him to a team that ultimately ended up winning the Super Bowl with him as a part of that team and him being a big part outside of, obviously, Saquon Barkley. But, yeah. That's one fans are going to look back at. And if this team doesn't turn it around pretty soon, they're going to continue to look at that trade and say, man, what were y'all thinking?
Coy in Clarksville. Derek, would you agree with the following statement? Derek Mason was a top five wide receiver of the 2000s era.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Who else would you put on that list?
Look at the numbers.
Pick four others.
Let me see. 2000, Randy Moss.
Okay.
Let me see. I would say Marvin Harrison. He got drafted 2 years before me.
I would put Marvin Harrison on that list. He qualifies.
At least for that 10-year span, like 2010, in between 2000 and 2010. Yeah. Marvin Harrison, Randy Moss.
T.O.?
T.O.
Yep.
Why am I forgetting now? St. Louis.
Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt. Definitely Torrey Holt. Yep. There you go.
Here are some others that I thought of. You mentioned Randy Moss. We mentioned Torrey Holt. We mentioned Terrell Owens. Hines Ward. Would Hines Ward be in the running?
Yeah, Hines Ward could be in the running.
You mentioned Marvin Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Chad Ochocinco / Johnson.
Yeah. He had a good team. He had a good run.
Did you say Reggie Wayne?
No, I didn't say Reggie. Reggie came like 2000. What was his? Didn't he get drafted? 2000? Because I'm on
2001, I think.
Yeah, 2001. You can put him on the list, you know, but who would you take off there? I'm not taking off myself.
Isaac Bruce?
I just look at the numbers. Isaac Bruce was an older. I look at him. I think that 99 year, 2000, 2001, he had a good run, but it wasn't like a 10-year run into the 2000s.
Steve Smith?
Yeah, but Steve got drafted, what, 2004?
2003, 2004, around that range.
Yeah, right around that way. So, I mean, it's weird because we all sort of overlap. It's like a 3-4 year period, and then you add a guy like Steve Smith, or you add a another one of these guys that were, you know, at the top of their game. So, I mean, if you're just counting those guys that sort of ushered in the 2000s, like the guys that got drafted in 96, 97, 98, and then on, I would tend to leave him off. Not because I don't think he, you know, was that dude. I think he's a Hall of Famer, Steve Smith I'm speaking of. But I just look at it based upon the numbers. That would be my five.
Josh asks, what are you doing for the fourth, Derek? With you hitting them MJ notes, sounds like karaoke is in your future.
Oh, man. No karaoke. I don't know what we're going to do.
You're going to New York.
Yeah, I'll be with my family in New York, so I don't know what we're going to do in the fourth. I know we want to try, just like everybody else that loves fireworks, and my son loves them, as do I and my daughter.
I love them on one day a year.
Yeah, one day a year.
As we discussed yesterday.
Their mom quite not as much. But we'll find a place to watch some fireworks. I'm sure there will be a lot of, in each borough, you will have your own sort of fireworks going off.
Joey wants to know what your favorite cartoon was in the 1980s.
He-Man, definitely. G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
Man.
And knowing is half the battle.
Man. I loved the Smurfs back then. You got to understand, I was a little kid back then. So I loved the Smurfs. I loved Thundercats. And these people probably just like, Thundercats? What the hell is that? Thundercats. I already said He-Man. What else was out back then? Let me see.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I love Teenage. Even had the game. Love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtles in a half shell. Turtle power.
So, yeah. What are you playing, a video game? You're
playing the Thundercats theme there.
I love Thundercats, man. That was just like
Voltron?
Voltron. You had. I'm saying.
Oh! Yes.
Transformers. Or Voltron?
I was partial to Transformers.
I get it. Transformers came out. When did Transformers debut?
Ooh, that's a good question.
It had to be, what, mid-80s? I remember the movie. The movie, when that came out, the cartoon movie, oh, my goodness. You couldn't try to. You weren't keeping me away from the theater to watch that movie.
See, I'm a '90s kid. I was born in 1989, but I came of age.
Yeah, some of these cartoons sort of bled into the '90s.
Yes, you know, I was more of a Nicktoons kid.
Yeah.
So, anything and everything on Nickelodeon: Rugrats, Doug, Ren and Stimpy, Rocko's Modern Life, so on and so forth.
I love Scrooge McDuck though. I love what you call it. What was the DuckTales? Oh,
DuckTales, DuckTales.
DuckTales.
I do love DuckTales.
I love DuckTales back in the day. I'm going to tell you what I used to do. When DuckTales would come on, because it usually came on, this is how it came on. I do believe at one point it was, and people correct me if I'm wrong, but then different cities and different states, they came on different times. So when I would get out of school, first, I would go down sometimes when I had money, which wasn't often. I would go down to the Dairy Queen. The Dairy Queen sold these little packages of Now and Laters. They were called Jingles. They were small. And they were 5 cents a piece.
Oh, wow.
So I would get five in a pack. So I would go down and get a bag full of Jingles. Go home, sit there.
And watch DuckTales?
And watch DuckTales. G.I. Joe, the Smurfs, and I hated when I was on punishment. Oh, I hated when I was on punishment because I couldn't watch those shows, but my sister and them would be watching them, and I can hear it.
Oh,
that was the worst.
You would hear muffled. Oh, yeah. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. And you'd be like, I can't watch.
I can't see it. So that was me.
Oh, man.
Yes. So those are my cartoons.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adam in Portland says, it's Heroes in a Half Shell, not Heroes Turtles in a Half Shell.
Heroes in a Half Shell, Turtle Power.
She says, Adam, it's Heroes in a Half Shell, Turtle Power, not Turtles in a Half Shell, Turtle Power. My wife does the same thing. She will barely mess up words like that, and it drives me up a freaking ball. Why am I not surprised, Adam, to hear that? 615, we got a lot of people texting in their favorite cartoons. Maybe we'll get back into it in a little bit. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, the final time this NHL season, we will be joined by the one and only Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider. We will break down NHL free agency, what the Predators did, all of those things with Elliot. Our final chat with Elliot until the fall. That's coming up next. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.